Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Today, we'll open up the phone lines again and talk about items in the news and take your phone calls. Barbara Fling is our phone producer today. First, one comment about yesterday's program. For a brief time yesterday, the topic of COVID-19 came up. And one listener made this claim when he called in after the show.
Mike Minkus in South Tampa. I've been a medical researcher in both alternative and regular medicine since 83. I'd like to clarify what's being considered as rising rates of coronavirus infection. I spoke with two different lab techs from two different laboratories and asked them, does an antibodies test an active infection? They both said no. Antibodies tests can only confirm that antibodies are being produced. They are not a confirm for infection nor passive immunity. One of them asked me, did I have measles as a kid? I said, yes. She said, most likely if we test your blood for measles antibodies, you'll be measles positive, but you don't have measles, so you're producing antibodies passively. So what's interesting is the same antibodies test given to survivors of COVID-19 to give to sick patients confirming to have antibodies is the exact same antibodies test that people are given initially and automatically declared an infection. Summing this up, the rates of infection, the rates of new cases are blown out of proportion, and it's amazing how even NPR keeps promoting the false puts.
Well, that's a listener comment that came in after yesterday's program. The listener making the claim that the antibodies test and the COVID-19 test are one and the same. I don't have time to fact check it, but maybe you can fact check it. I'm pretty sure that is not true, and I hesitate to even comment about a caller who called in. But moving on, President Trump held another airport rally yesterday, this time in Jacksonville. We're going to hear a report from the Associated Press. And as we listen back to some of the news stories that have occurred over the last 24 hours, I hope that you'll call in or email in. The email address is dj@wmnf.org. Here is some of what happened at the president's rally in Northeast Florida yesterday.
Mike Minkus in South Tampa.
Greeting a crowd in his adopted home state of Florida.
Hello, Jacksonville. We love Jacksonville.
President Trump, who's often criticized Latino immigrants, was trying to show that he's a better candidate for them than Joe Biden.
The Democrat Party has been completely taken over by socialists, Marxists, and far-left extremists. They embrace the policies of communist Cuba, socialist Venezuela. They want to end the American dream for Hispanic Americans. We love Hispanic Americans. Wow.
Trump also said Florida's governor was doing a great job containing the coronavirus and says Biden would crush Florida's economy with his virus safety restrictions. I'm Jackie Quinn.
It's an interesting comment there from the president saying that the Democrats have adopted the policies of communist Cuba. Now, if you're a Trump supporter, maybe you can call up and tell us where that's happened. And I'll put you right to the top of the line, 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. Well, Joe Biden, the Democratic candidate, had no public event scheduled yesterday as he concentrated on preparing for next Tuesday's televised debate. But it wasn't the first time that he laid low. Since he chose California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate on August 11th, Biden has had 23 days where he either did not make a public appearance or held only virtual fundraisers or ventured from his Delaware home solely to go to Mass. Biden has gone out of state only 12 times in the last 6 weeks, and during the same time, President Trump had 24 out-of-state trips that took him to 17 different states. That's not counting his weekend golf trips. In fact, the president is at the Doral Golf Resort today, a property that he owns. After the president's remarks earlier this week that he might not accept the results of the November election, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said Trump needs to commit to leaving office if he's defeated. Here's what Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, said yesterday.
Remind him, you are not in North Korea, you are not in Turkey, you are not in Russia, Mr. President, and by the way, you are not in Saudi Arabia. You are in the United States of America. It is a democracy. So why don't you just try for a moment to honor your oath of office?
Nancy Pelosi speaking yesterday. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. And if you want to comment about anything you've heard up to now, you can call us up and we'll put you on the air. Also, our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Well, let's bring in Jackie Quinn, the AP reporter, back for this next one. Coronavirus cases are spiking across the country. Here's what Jackie reported earlier today.
Several Midwestern states are reporting new spikes in coronavirus cases and expressing concerns about hospital space. There are new warnings about hospital capacity in Springfield, Missouri, with nearly 1,600 new COVID cases reported Wednesday, more than 100,000 infections since Missouri reopened in June, and Governor Mike Parson, a mask opponent, and his wife are among them. South Dakota has a new record high, 463 cases and 8 more deaths, despite Governor Kristi Noem declaring the virus had already peaked and promoting tourism in her state. Iowa schools sent hundreds of students home after coronavirus outbreaks. Montana, with a new record high, some 500 cases are linked to schools reopening. Meanwhile, Florida's governor's calling for a college student's bill of rights, denouncing university officials for disciplining students for attending large parties. I'm Jackie Quinn.
Apparently, Governor DeSantis is not too worried about COVID-19 because he said, as Jackie reported there, that he wants to establish a student bill of rights following the crackdown on college parties and other social gatherings as an effort to reduce the outbreak of COVID-19. The Republican governor says that college students should be freed up to do their thing.
We're looking at perhaps us, if there's something we can do at the state level to provide some type of bill of rights for students. And I understand the university are trying to do the right thing, but I personally think it's incredibly draconian that a student would get potentially expelled for going to a party. That's what college kids do, and they're at low risk. And I just think that we've got to be reasonable about this and really focus the efforts on where the most significant risk is.
Well, that's Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. What do you think? Our phone number is 813-239-9663. David writes in about that college student bill of rights. David writes, is this a ploy to get college students to vote for Trump and other Republicans? And since when did the Beastie Boys become the state surgeon general of Florida? David's comment out there. And let's take a few phone calls, or maybe one phone call. Andy in Dunedin. Andy, what would you like to comment about? Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Rob, happy Friday. Yeah, PBS, I think it was Monday or Tuesday, had a story about Colby College up in Maine and how they were dealing with students coming back on campus, and it's really insightful. I would implore everybody to check that one out. Yes, it is a smaller college, and they do have some, most colleges have money to throw around, and they're not throwing it in the right areas, but that's one to check out.
It's interesting you mentioned that. One of my college roommates teaches at Colby right now. Was Colby doing the right thing or the wrong thing?
Oh, they're doing some incredible stuff. Testing, keeping, the kids distanced. And, I mean, just numerous things that they're just on top of it. And as winter comes, they said that'll be another challenge because a lot of the stuff is being held in outdoor areas. But as far as Trump leaving the White House, all they simply have to do is shut off the power and water, and that'll take care of that. And one more thing, with all the time we have spending at home now, catching up on reading and movies, and I know you're a movie buff, have you seen the movie Cuba and the Cameraman?
Not I Am a Camera, not that movie.
Yeah, Cuba and the Cameraman, about this guy that goes down there since the 70s with a camera and visits the same people over and over again over the years.
Oh, no, I've not seen that. No.
Oh, you got to see it, Rob. And he hangs out with Castro, and it is so different than maybe anything you've ever seen about Cuba. It is an incredible, incredible movie, Cuba and the Cameraman. It's on Netflix, I believe.
All right. Do you know who the filmmaker is by any chance?
Sure don't, but it's worth watching and seeking out.
Okay, I will look for it.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, the topic of Cuba may come up again on this program. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, we're talking about what's gone on in the news in the last 24 hours. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. Our email address, dj@wmnf.org. We heard President Trump in Jacksonville just say yesterday that Democrats have adopted the policies of the communist government of Cuba. And I'm asking our friends who are President Trump supporters to call us up and tell us exactly where that's happening in the U.S. today. 813-239-9663. President Trump, who has long promised a beautiful and phenomenal health care plan, announced a series of largely meaningless actions yesterday during a speech in North Carolina that effectively served as a campaign event. And I'm reading from Time magazine right now. The most tangible proposal Trump unveiled was a vow to send $200 prescription drug discount cards to 33 million Medicare beneficiaries in the coming weeks. However, the president said the cost, the $6.6 billion cost of that, that would be needed to fund the program would have to come from savings from his most favored nation drug pricing proposal, which he announced on September 13th, and which is not yet in effect, and which experts say would be close to impossible to implement before the November election. The Trump administration recently tried and failed to convince the pharmaceutical industry to fund a similar plan, according to the New York Times. Trump also announced two non-binding executive orders yesterday as he announced his beautiful and phenomenal health care plan, one addressing the topic of surprise out-of-network medical bills and the other addressing the topic of protecting pre-existing conditions. These are two of America's biggest complaints about the country's for-profit health care system, but neither of these orders will have any immediate effect on the problem at hand because they are executive orders that are non-binding. The first non-binding executive order is simply a promise. It declares that it is the policy of the U.S. that people who suffer from pre-existing conditions will be protected. Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar said on a press call with reporters before Trump's speech, "This does not create a policy or law." And the administration and President Trump himself said this would cover the same protections already established under the Affordable Care Act. That's the health care law passed by former President Barack Obama and then Congress, and which the Trump administration is now in court trying to overturn entirely. And the U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear a challenge to the Obamacare Act, the ACA, on November 10th, 1 week after Election Day. If the High Court overturns the law, the American healthcare system would be sent into chaos. Just reading from Time magazine there. And again, our phone number, 813-239-9663. Our email address is dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to DJ in Tampa. DJ, what's on your mind today?
Hey, great morning, Rob. Hey, this smells so good checking in, man. I know it's been a while. But hey, I recently, unfortunately, had to go to New York, take a flight to New York to say goodbye to a dear friend of mine. And I was taking a ride on the M10, the little public transportation, and I took a gander, took a ride down by the Trump Towers. And before I got to it, now I know we don't have the big statue issue going on, but when I passed by and I looked to my right and I seen that Theodore Roosevelt statue still standing with the slave on one side and the Indian on the other side, I mean, I overstand now the statue issue. I mean, that is just, it made me like say what the, you know, over and over and over again. You know what I'm saying? Because I was like, what is, really? I mean, because I hear the issue. You know, we down here, you hear the issue. But when you see it, like, people, y'all got to go to New York. go and just take a drive around New York and look at the statues. That stuff does need to come down. The Christopher Columbus statue is protected more than Fort Knox or the White House. I mean, you can't throw a rock at that place. You know what I'm saying? They won't even reach. They got security all around it. And the whole vibe, I did a video. I said the whole vibe, that whole area down by Trump Towers has a evil spirit or bad taint to it. The whole area, when you ride down, you just feel a bad vibe. You know what I'm saying? So them statues, they got to go. That's all I'm saying. All those statues that represent that type of ideology, where you sitting on a horse looking bareback like Putin.
And now, DJ, I thought, now this is that statue that's at the American Museum of Natural History, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I thought they were going to take that down.
Man, please. It looked like they shined it up and made it pretty or something.
All right, so DJ, the argument that we always hear is that, well, if you take down the statue, you're erasing history.
Why do you have a piece of his story outside the his story museum? Why wouldn't it be inside in the back of the museum so I can come in and witness that piece of his story, not my story?
Yeah. All right, and you know, we don't have enough of what you call my story. I mean, I keep wondering where are the statues honoring the courageous civil rights workers in the country. Do we have any except for the Dr. King statue?
What happened? And what happened with the West Tampa Project? Because initially, the West Tampa Project had black architects an artist that was supposed to come in and redo some of the statues and stuff to make it look more like back in the days when we had Central Park Avenue, we had, you know, stuff that replicated the residence.
Yeah, I'm thinking of all those artists that came through town and stayed on Central Avenue because
where
they couldn't
they had,
get into the other hotels and motels.
This is a call for all y'all artisans out there. You need to go and bombard the mayor's office because we need to get some real diversification, the look to the city. You know what I'm saying? You need that look to the city. You can all them buildings that they just opened up, congratulations, shouts out to Joe Robinson and everybody that got that done. But the building, the architecture is one thing. The aesthetic look to the area that your kids gonna have to continue looking at every day is what you all need to be focusing on.
Yeah, it's gonna make people feel welcome.
It's got to make people feel welcome. And, yeah. And seeing that crap that's down there like by the stadium, when you walk into the cancer survivor little area and it's the happy-go-lucky family, sorry, that is not a replication of the diversity that Tampa holds.
Yeah,
that
those statues appear to be white folks, right?
I'm dang.
Yeah.
Just call
okay.
it like it is.
All
because
right.
it's been a whole school of everybody just, you know what I'm saying? We all cancer survivors.
Exactly.
It's not just one family.
It's not
you
just one ethnic group. All right.
Come on.
DJ, thanks a lot.
Come on in. That's real. All right,
Law. All right. Great to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Clark writes in, and I believe some other people are about to write in or have written in. I'm reading the first email that's come in. Clark writes, Cuba and the Cameraman is a 2017 American documentary film directed and co-produced by John Alpert. John Alpert, I remember from the 1980s, used to do these investigative videos for the Today Show. I always wondered what happened to John Alpert, who started off, I think, in public access TV, I think, in New York City. I could be wrong, but you folks that remember public access TV might be able to straighten me out. David writes this, I was surprised that RBG is the first woman in the state to lie in state in the Capitol, and then I realized that Sandra Day O'Connor is still alive. She's 90 years old, writes David. And Tina from Brooksville says, Cuba and the Cameraman is a must-see film. All right, Tina, thank you for that. 813-239-9663, email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's take some more phone calls. There's many more topics I want to introduce. Let's go to Chris, who's in Valrico. Hi, Chris. What's up?
This whole thing with statues is that we build statues to people we honor and whose values we appreciate. If we're no longer appreciating those values, those statues need to go. That's my humble opinion. And that's why if you go to Germany, you don't see statues to Hitler but you do stumble over the stumbling stones for his victims.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. All right, Chris, thanks a lot.
Yep, you're welcome, Rob.
All right, good to hear from you.
Good work.
Thank you. Let's go to Ruth in St. Petersburg. Hi, Ruth, you're on M&F.
Hi, good morning. Just wanted to state that, you know, history is a good thing. It helps us not repeat the bad things we've been through. But glorification of people historically that offend others is really important in our culture to address. And I do believe that the statues all should be removed. We can keep our history, good, bad, and ugly. But the glorification, I definitely have a problem with. And furthermore, this country is a great country, and I know people are really suffering because of our history and where we're at, but no other country in the world has the beautiful melting pot that we have. And based on what we've got in this country, it's amazing how well we all do get along. I just think we need to really dig deep now and get down to all this and get everybody on the same page and people in happier places.
All right, great sentiment. Thanks, Ruth.
Thank you.
Thank you. And let's go to Nav in Tampa. Nav, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Hi, Rob. Thanks for taking my call. I just want to discuss NPR and the journalism, and you as a journalist, I'd like to get your opinion. You know, I've heard on NPR a few times where they had guests, and the guests referred to Trump, referring to U.S. soldiers as suckers and losers, and they didn't interrupt to say, well, and the president is vehemently denied it, and other public officials have publicly stated the president that was never. And I want
Nav, let me just before you go further, you're breaking up, so we're missing about 40% of what you're saying. So just so you know, we got part of what you said, but not all of it, and we might have missed some important parts. So just if there's something you could do about your phone, this would be a good time to do it.
Should I call back then?
Well, why don't you finish as long as you're on the line? Your point being that you think NPR is not putting the allegations made in the Atlantic article in context.
Right. Like, what I'm asking you is when their guests make that statement and said that Trump referred to U.S. soldiers as suckers and losers, that's fine. You know, the guests can say that. They should inform the public that that's alleged to be said by a source, and the president has vehemently denied it, and so have other government officials. And then they can allow that speaker to continue talking. Then I would view NPR as a straight shooter. That, you know, but they didn't do that, and they did that twice. And I just want your opinion as a journalist, because I find you're actually quite fair, that you try to bring context to the, you know, when people make statements. And I just want your opinion on that, because, you know, NPR, I have to be honest with you, it's a little bit disappointing that, you know, they don't seem to be as straight as I thought they were.
Yeah, I did not hear the NPR report unless it was done on our headline news, and we do carry the NPR news on our headlines.
It was a talk show.
Thing, yeah, you know, this is what I would say is that I think you're right. You could put that comment in context, but I think the context includes both the president's denial and the staffer's denial of the Atlantic article. But also, since then, at least two or three other news organizations, and I've lost count now, have corroborated what the Atlantic article has said. So the proper context would be the president denies it, he has some aides who've denied it, and other news organizations have corroborated it. I think that's the proper context.
And I agree. And that's what I was asking you, you being a journalist, that shouldn't the NPR moderator sort of interrupt the guests for just a second to bring that context so that the public can make their own decision on whether they felt the president said that or not, hearing kind of both sides.
I didn't hear the NPR report, so I don't know. You know whether if they had a long extended interview and plenty of time to put in the context, then I say yes. If it was just a short interview where they're grabbing a soundbite, it's hard to put that. It's hard to, if let's say it's a 1 minute report. It's hard to put all that context in. So I didn't hear the report, and I don't want to beat up on an NPR reporter whose report I didn't hear.
All right, fair enough. All right.
Okay, thank Nav, so thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. There are some good emails that have come in. Some are unsigned. And I think just kind of in fairness, you don't have, we won't give your last name on the air. I never give a last name on the air. But if you could just use your first name. John in Ozona writes, I think our governor should spend some time stressing the importance of filling out or completing the census, writes John in Ozona. Yeah, yesterday, after a challenge by civil rights groups and some governments, a federal judge in California ordered that the U.S. Census be extended to its regular length and continue until the end of October. The Trump administration wanted to shut down the census by the middle of next week on September 30th. But the argument for extending it is that communities of color were not filling out the census as much as other communities. And so civil rights groups and some governments have asked that the census be extended. And typically the census goes all the way to the end of October. 813-239-9663. A lot of people are saying that they have watched the John Alpert documentary about Cuba, Amadou being one of the latest people, and I haven't thanked everybody, but a lot of people are writing in saying they've watched that documentary about Cuba, Cuba and the cameraman, and they love it. Lisa's written in, and a bunch of other people. Jeff writes, I've heard a lot about Trump losing and refusing to accept the results. What if, conversely, Trump wins and the Democrats do not accept the results? I don't think this is far-fetched after having the Russian collusion situation in the previous election, writes Jeff. I don't know what the Democrats are going to do. I know that Hillary Clinton said in an interview a few weeks ago that the Democrats should fight, but I don't know if there's any Democrats saying that they shouldn't accept the results of the election. Just having been around in 2000, I think there should have been a complete count in Florida, and we should have let the count continue. And if we got to that point and not all the ballots were being counted, and President Trump complained that not all the ballots were being counted, I'd agree with him. And if the Democrats complained that not all the ballots are being counted, I would agree with the Democrats, too. I think that was the mistake from 2000. And we learned that after reporters went back in and actually did a vote count after the election results came in. Let's go to Lamar in Winter Haven. Lamar, you're on M&F. What's up? Hi, Lamar. You might be listening.
Back to what they were saying about the president calling soldiers losers and suckers, I don't know whether he said it or not, but he did not make the trip to the cemetery in France where the rest of the world leaders made it to.
That's correct. He didn't. And there's a couple explanations that he's given that are contradictory. He said he wanted to make the trip, and then, but that wasn't something that was said on the day of. So I don't know.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks, Lamar. Good to hear from you. I mean, I think it's fair to say that if you've got several news organizations, finding that there are others within the Trump administration who heard the president say these controversial things about soldiers and veterans, and you've got the president's denial, I think you put it all in your report. I think that's the way it goes. 813-239-9663. Well, last night in St. Petersburg, protesters gathered to honor Breonna Taylor, the woman killed by police in Kentucky. And we got the grand jury report this week, just clearing the officers who shot and killed Breonna Taylor. This is a report from WMNF's Daniel Figueroa. It turns out that in St. Petersburg, two nights ago, there was an incident involving two people at a restaurant on Beach Drive and some protesters who were upset at the Breonna Taylor grand jury results. And there was a video of that. That went viral. It got millions of views. Apparently, it made the activists look bad. And WMNF's Daniel Figueroa was out last night with the St. Pete Peace protest. And he was talking with people on all sides of the issue and finding out what was going on. And one of the big issues last night was this video from Wednesday night. So here's Daniel's report about what went on in the streets of St. Pete last night.
Before they marched, they prayed.
Thank you, Most High, for all of those who have come before us. We ask that they be blessed and that they are able to be with us as we move forward in this journey.
Protesters marched with renewed vigor this week after a grand jury in Kentucky chose to not bring charges against officers who killed Breonna Taylor. After four straight months of near-daily peaceful marches, tensions were among the highest they'd been Thursday night. Wednesday, a Tampa Bay Times reporter tweeted video of protesters approaching and engaging in a heated exchange with Sean Quinn Guthrie and Ken Ullman as they dined at Beach Drive's Park Shore Grill. Activist Ashley Green said the video didn't provide context, garnering negative attention nationwide to their movement, including renewed threats to activists. She warned that decisions, even well-intended ones, could distort the message.
The reality is last night we became a tool of somebody else's agenda, rather than the protector and defender of our own.
Deja Denise Sherrod, an activist who witnessed the incident, said the Times video painted protesters as thuggish agitators. But photo and video capturing more of the event shows a bigger story. As protesters marched north up Beach Drive, Sherrod said Guthrie and Ullman booed them, cursed at them, flipped them off, and hurled racist and anti-Semitic slurs. Their taunts continued as marchers turned at a roundabout and headed back, including some directed at a rabbi blowing a shofar, a Jewish prayer instrument. The group of 60 marchers stopped along the road's busy outdoor restaurants.
We wanted them to hear our message, and this is something that we've done countless times during our last 4 months of protest. What one of our demonstrators did was walk up to them to have a civil conversation, since they clearly were not getting the message.
That's where the tweeted video picks up. A protester sits by Guthrie and Ullman as they dine, and Guthrie attempts to lift the person out of the chair, bringing even more protesters into the fold. Before Thursday's march, Green reminded activists to focus on the mission and not engage those who wish to agitate. Such actions, she said, had no place there.
If you are not here for anything other than Black Lives, this protest tonight ain't the one that you need to be at.
Thursday's march took activists west down Central Avenue. A drum pounded as they chanted while passing the Acropolis restaurant, Cycle Brewing, and Steve's Tavern, heading from downtown into the Edge District, then Grand Central. As the march headed through intersections, a group of protesters given special instructions attempted to keep cars at bay so marchers could safely pass in one group. Mostly, patrons cheered marchers on, many raising a fist in solidarity. Some vehicles even joined in, playing music or honking in support. Occasionally, members of the Blue Thunder Motorcycle Club, a group of law enforcement supporters, rode by revving the engines of their Harley-Davidsons. As protesters passed across to 16th Street, a white Chevy Malibu bust through the ranks, striking but not injuring a protester on their bicycle before speeding away. Outside of Ferg Sports Bar, members of Blue Thunder parked their bikes, drank beers, and waited for protesters to come back around. One member of Blue Thunder raised both middle fingers at protesters. He looked at one and passed a finger over his throat. He called another by their name and said he'd see them at a coming protest in Newport Richey.
You should be scared. You should be real scared.
Still, most, like Jason and Kim Preby, a white couple visiting St. Pete from Raleigh, North Carolina, said they recognized the importance of the protesters and saw them as peaceful activists.
I think it's critically important that people are out on the streets demanding justice.
Sometimes some groups come in and try to make it look like those groups are violent, but that is not what this is all about.
Even with support, Green, a leader among activists, said the journey is still long.
We don't have to do a lot to get close to justice. To get close to justice.
For WMNF News, I'm Daniel Figueroa IV.
And that was Daniel out in St. Petersburg last night. Well, if you want to comment about that, our phone number is 813-239-9663. And you can also send in an email comment to dj@wmnf.org. Let's go to Mark in Tarpon Springs. Mark, thanks for calling in. What's on your mind?
Hi, Rob. Hello, Rob.
Yeah, take it away. What's up?
Okay, I was wanting to respond to the comment by the guy that said NPR did not address the entire issue.
Okay.
Then a few minutes ago.
All right.
I'm a very consistent NPR listener, and maybe not in that interview, but they were constantly going back that there were multiple replies, and they did mention the president didn't like it and that other of his advisors, but they also mentioned that not only were there news organizations, Fox News, a major correspondent on Fox News, said that she had very good corroboration that had been said. So either the person wasn't a longtime NPR listener or they were just shady. The other thing, with that in mind, NPR, I love them. I've been supporting them since the 1980s. They have tried to normalize Trump for the last 3 years, and it bothers me extensively as a progressive. I know that maybe they shouldn't all be progressive, but they let too many of his lies go without challenging them. With that said, I really appreciate your program. Thank you so much for what you do.
All right, Tony, thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, I don't get a chance to listen to the nearby station on the dial. Just because I've got so much to do over here. I got to say that, you know, I've worked at an NPR station. I have friends that have been top reporters at NPR for programs like All Things Considered. But I think basically, and I think this is a problem for all of public broadcasting, is that we've got a problem with our funding mechanism, and that is that we really do, a station like MNF, really does rely on donations from listeners. In fact, if you could make a donation right now, that would really help. Go to WMNF.org. An even larger portion of like a university station or the big NPR network, a larger portion of their budget is reliant on money that's sent by Congress or state governments to the NPR stations. And so they're very fearful of who's in power in Washington and who's in power in Tallahassee. And so it's harder for them because they've got people looking over their shoulders, and it's harder for them, I think, to do the kind of investigative reporting, I think, that really needs to be done, especially today. So if Tony thinks that they've normalized Trump, I don't know, because I don't get a chance to listen to anything but our headlines that we carry. But I do think that there's a problem with funding public broadcasting, and I think that's a debate that ought to take place. How do we fund public broadcasting in the U.S.? Because there should be an independent, non-commercial outlet that's strongly funded that can do investigative reporting, that doesn't have to worry about politics, and can, you know, investigate everything from government to polluters, to, you know, cover trials and all that. And there should be a strong system, because especially now with newspapers declining, there should be a way that we have top quality reporters hired at places like MNF and WUSF and Channel 3 and all the public broadcasters around the country to do straight reporting and fearless reporting. And when part of your money comes from the government, you're always looking over your shoulder. There's no doubt about it. And I can tell you that the reporters might not admit to that, but when I talk to the managers around the country, they admit to that. 813-239-9663. Stephen Tampa writes, what we need to understand is that the GOP is not Donald Trump's party. It's been Mitch McConnell's party for a long time. Trump is simply a distraction that takes the public's attention away from what the politicians are doing. They are working just not for the people, writes Stephen. And then going to look for the next signed email. We're getting a lot of unsigned emails. Thank you for the unsigned ones. DeMarco writes this: so the Republicans can shoot people with paintball guns or real guns and kill them, and it's okay with the president? Now the governor of Florida wants laws suppressing peaceful protesters and allowing maggots to run over and kill peaceful protesters. The only group arrested for fomenting violence around the BLM protests is the Boogaloo Boys, a right-wing white supremacist group whose goal is to start a race war. That's DeMarco's email. Thank you for that. And then Brian of West Tampa writes, I wonder if your caller Nav holds conservative media like Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, etc., who make certain claims against Joe Biden and other Democratic politicians that they too deny without stating the claims are unsubstantiated. Does he complain about those news outlets or hold them to the same standard? I seriously doubt it, writes Brian in West Tampa. I don't know. He's not here to answer that question, so I don't know what the answer is to that. 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And let's take some more phone calls. We're going to go to, we'll go to Richard in Tampa. Richard, thanks for calling. What would you like to say?
Hey, Rob, how are you?
I'm good. What's up?
I thought it was very informative what you played about that reporter, how he was explaining what was going on in downtown St. Petersburg to do with the
protest. That's our reporter. That's Daniel Figueroa IV, the guy we just hired. If you're a donor, Richard, some of your money went to hire Daniel.
Well, he's awesome. That was awesome.
He is awesome, yeah.
I really can appreciate that type of reporting and understanding what was actually going on in the heat of the moment. And you know, and how they were being attacked in certain ways from the outside to incite their responses and the way they reacted. So, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. And I have to support, you know, the side of people seeking out justice. I mean, there's a lot of wrong that's been done to people over the years, and justice comes in different forms and fashions, and sometimes you have to be very passionate and due diligent and stay on a certain path or a course to seek this justice out. So all for it, for the protesters to stand up and, you know, have their right to peacefully protest. They deserve that right. It's in the Constitution.
Yeah, and the governor and the incoming state president and the House Speaker all want to put more laws down on the books that would crack down on protesters, including making it giving a driver a pass if he runs over a protester if he feels threatened by the protest group. And you know, you got to wonder. I mean, a lot of people feel threatened, and I understand, but. Do you want to give them a pass to run somebody over and kill them? Is that something that you really want to happen in the state?
There's one thing that people need to understand is they have to take the time to understand people in this day and age. Things are changing, and if you don't want to take the time to maybe think that you have to change a little bit to become a better person, to feel someone else's pain, then you're going to have problems as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put yourself in other people's place. Richard, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you for the time, and thank you for what you guys do.
All right. Thanks, Richard. And let's go to Nick in St. Pete. Nick, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. If you go to YouTube and type in St. Pete protest, you can see the truth, not the propaganda piece that you just ran. You didn't talk about the people blocking the roadways, harassing people. What about vandalizing all those restaurants down there? It's all on tape. It's all on YouTube, and your piece is nonsense. Goodbye.
Okay, well, there's Nick, who doesn't like the station, but he listens all the time. Nick, thanks a lot. I think Daniel's report says that video does not provide the proper context to what happened on Wednesday night. That was what Daniel reported. Let's go to Danny in Tampa. Danny, thank you for calling. What would you like to say?
Yes, good morning, Rob. Well, Trump got a little bit of his own medicine yesterday. When he was booed and they were yelling at him, vote him out, as he stood right over the casket of...
Yeah, we played that sound yesterday morning, yes.
Yes, and I tell you what, now, what he encountered was a small portion of the majority of the people in America that can't stand him, and he's never ever hit 50% in his presidency. He's always around 40, but 40 is a solid number.
Danny, do you ever think that Democrats like you are overconfident? Do you ever think I'll say a few things. One is that if you drive around, especially in the countryside, you're going to see more Trump signs. And two is that I've talked with Republicans who say that Republicans don't want to answer pollsters honestly. They say that they're trying to hide the true degree of their strength. So do you guys, as Democrats, you feel like you're overconfident?
I'm not overconfident. I know that's some
But you sounded that way a second ago, Dan.
Well, no, I'm just saying that I'm glad that he encountered that. That's what I'm saying yesterday, because he's a taste of his own medicine, and the majority of the people are against him. And he does. It's a fact, that, and he knows that. He knows it, Rob. As far as some, I know some Republican churro guy in West Tampa that Mark always talks about, that he just told a friend of mine that it's going to be a landslide for Trump. And I expected him to say that. And I'll tell you what, if you heard, I don't know if you heard Democracy Now this morning, but Amy said that he's already got, I don't know how many large, he's going to send armed people to the site.
Well, yeah, Barton Gellman reported that they want able-bodied people to show up at the sites. And Barton said on Democracy Now, 15,000. I went to the Hillsborough County Republican Party website, and they say they want 50,000 people to show up to watch the polls. So I think Barton got that number wrong.
It's unlawful to have, first of all, armed. I used to work at the polls. It's unlawful for people to have armed, we have a sheriff over there already that's part of the team. But hey, let me leave you with this. This is it, folks. This is a dictator who's making his play now. He's making his play. He's learned from the best, and he's making his play. He's learned from the best dictators around. He has studied them, and this is his grab. And believe me, he's going to try his darndest to go ahead and try to steal this election. So it's up to us right there, and vote. And Rob, I'm not overconfident, but I'm cautiously optimistic.
All right, Danny, thanks. Thanks for checking in. This is WMNF 88.5 FM. Steve writes this: Trump tries to bribe seniors with $200. DeSantis panders to students by saying that they should be free to go out and get drunk, regardless of whether they get infected with and spread COVID-19. The so-called pro-life party is a party of ghouls. Now, that's a Stevens email. 813-239-9663. And then Joe in Sun City Center says, the most widely used coronavirus tests for remnant DNA from the virus, this appears to not be an antibody test. That goes to the comment at the very top of the show about yesterday's program and a caller who claimed that the antibody test and the COVID-19 test are one and the same. So Joe in Sun City, thanks for clearing it up. He says it appears not to be true. 813-239-9663. And let's go back to the phones, and we're going to go to Harvey in St. Pete, who's been holding the longest. Harvey, thanks for calling.
Thank you, all right. I appreciate you accepting my phone call. I'm a disabled veteran, and I was back in the military back in the late 60s, 66, 68, and I really had pride in this country now, you know. And the fact of the matter is, I can't sleep at night sometimes just, you know, thinking about which way this country going and the situation we're in. And if you really take a track record of Trump, and you check the track record of Biden, I don't understand why all these Trump supporters, you know, supporting this man, you know. I don't have nothing against nobody. I fought for democracy, and I was in Home Depot yesterday, and I see a fellow with a Trump mask on his face, you know, and I just stirred up my fingers on my head like he had some problem. He called me crazy. I just kept on walking.
Harvey, what would you like to see the politicians say or do that would help? You know, you're worried about the country. What would you like the politicians to do?
To make this country much better than what the direction it's going in now. You know, just instill more love and respect for each other. You understand?
I do. I hear you.
It's no respect. You know, it's just people going crazy out here. You know, and it's just hurt my heart to see people looting and burning and all this craziness, you know. I don't respect that.
Yeah. Well, I think that we need more coming together and more love. I agree.
Yes. And excuse me?
No, I didn't say anything.
I say I really greatly appreciate you taking my phone call, you know. But, you know, if you look back on the record of Trump and all this bankruptcy and all this grabbing ladies, you know, I don't understand why people want this country to go in a negative direction.
Yeah, I don't know. Harvey, thanks a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you, and God bless you and keep you and your family safe.
Thank you, and I hope the best for you, too. Thanks, Harvey. Dave in Valrico writes, Trump made an executive order to delay collecting payroll withholding taxes, followed by declaring to forego collecting those taxes if he's reelected. Is that not putting money on the table as a bribe in order to get votes? Isn't that what vote buying is all about? And that's illegal, writes Dave. 813-239-9663. Les writes this, an antibody test simply indicates whether or not you've been exposed to the COVID-19 virus. It does not indicate if you have an active infection, writes Les. Thank you, Les, for that. And let's go back to the phones. A lot of people here at the end of the show just fact-checking the caller at the very beginning of the show. Let's go to John in Sarasota. Hey, John, thanks for calling Radioactivity.
Hey, I'm a regular old Republican here and person that likes to go down the beach road from Sarasota. And I just, anybody that's messing with somebody while they're eating their dinner is just not going to help the cause at all. And all of the burned out libraries and violence and all these protests, they ought to do it at 10 o'clock in the morning and rather than do it at in the evening when there's so much stuff like this. They've got to get that under control or they're not going to make, they're making a Trump voter every single time one of those things happens. And there are a lot of good issues that need to be talked about and all that, and it just gets lost. And I don't want to be at the dining table paying my dinner and somebody's around there doing that stuff. And the idea that maybe they flip the bird first to provoke them, anybody going around the table and doing that to somebody, I can't believe what they say. I mean, if that's the mode of some people in the group and they're not being called out when that happens, then I can't understand that story. What I saw on the tape was very disturbing, and the whole nation saw it. So they've just got to do a better job if they want their message to go through.
All right, John, thank you for that.
Hey, thank you for listening. Bye.
Okay, yeah, it's good that you called. I've not seen the tape. I don't know, as Daniel reported in his story, the tape has gotten a million views or more around the country, but Daniel says that the tape that's out there that is on social media doesn't put the night's event in full context. So I do not know. I think Daniel's a good reporter, so I'm backing him. Let's go to, you know, we had some women callers at the beginning of the show, and then we've had men. I don't know what I'm doing wrong here. Let's go to Jose in Tarpon Springs. Jose, you're on M&F. What's up?
Oh, hey, Rob. Don't hate me for being a guy.
Okay, some of my best friends.
This, the last gentleman who just called, you know, the reason they don't torch buildings at 11 o'clock in the morning is because they're peaceful protesters. The people who torch the buildings after dark are people who don't want to be seen as to who they are and such like that. So that's wrong. There's a basic reason why, that's a wrong statement to make. But actually, I just wanted to get off on a quick bit about Trump at the being booed at Ginsburg's showing there the other yesterday. I watched that, I heard it, and it was pretty obvious. They did a close up of the president's face, trying to ignore it. And the funny thing is yesterday's rally in Jacksonville, he claimed he didn't hear anything. I couldn't hear it. I heard someone said I might have been booed, but I didn't hear it. And his argument against Biden right now is that he's old, decrepit, feeble, and not of mind. And yet here's Trump admitting to everybody that he's as deaf as a post. So I think we should take that into consideration that maybe Trump's getting a little too old for this job.
Okay. Thanks, Jose. I did watch the C-SPAN version of that booing against President Trump, and the chanting, too, that said, honor her wish, referring to Justice Ginsburg's last wish. The president did seem to back up as the booing started and the chanting started, the lock him up chant. So I think he heard it. Now, whether or not he's being straightforward, that's another question. We've got so many emails and so many phone calls, and we're down to the last few seconds of the show. Tammy writes this, we do have video and audio in the public realm regarding disparaging remarks that President Trump made against John McCain. Trump doesn't consider a captured POW a hero. That's Tammy in Dunedin. And then Pete in Seminole writes, I guess it's time to start chipping away at the Lincoln Memorial and Mount Rushmore, and then all will be copacetic, writes Pete in Seminole. Pete, thank you for that. If you want to comment about today's show, please call us up, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115, and I'll play your comments back Monday morning. Thanks to Barbara Fling. This is WMNF Tampa.